It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, and wherever you take in VSiN. Too many to name. I could go on, but why bother? It's Gil Alexander. Jason Kopp, producer number seven, is here as well. And can we give a shout out to Tom in the corner? Tom's got 1 week left with us. We never shout out Tom, who does his job dutifully, happily, joyfully every single morning and makes all of our lives better. So thank you, Tom. One more week here. By the way, was that public information? I didn't know. I'm sorry if I mentioned that. Oh, he says it's okay. I probably should have asked beforehand. So shout out to Tom as well. And the entire crew downstairs that helps us out and makes this happen each and every day. Coming up, we'll talk to Mark Borchardt about baseball from his undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, and slow jamming with Vinny to take us out today as well. Let's do a tennis update first, because I have a couple tennis picks I want to mention. First of all, the first of the two men's semifinals at Roland Garros. And the men's semis is star-studded, and the women's final, I will have to pronounce all the names for you correctly, because you won't know either of them, probably. But it's Sasha Zverev against Stefanos Tsitsipas in one of the semis that has started already this morning. Tsitsipas took the first two sets from Zverev, 6-3, 6-3, but Zverev has broken Tsitsipas in set number three and leads at 5-3. So we could be headed to a fourth. Oh, look, by the way, Jason, we got it on a TV above your head. How about that? We got tennis piped in now into the studio. I knew Jason would come through for us. Later today, and I'm talking about not much later, at the conclusion of this match, it will be Novak Djokovic and the King of Clay, Rafael Nadal. Nadal looking to win his 14th French Open men's singles slam. You have to laugh when you just say that out loud. The hardest thing in sports is beating Rafa Nadal on clay. But if there is one human walking the earth, the clay at Roland Garros specifically, if there is one human being walking the earth that could get it done, it would be one of the three greats, of course, of the big three, along with Nadal and Roger Federer. It would be Novak Djokovic. My play in that match today between Djokovic and Nadal is over 38 games. You might be able to find a better number than the 38 I got. But I'm over in the total games in that match. At Roland Garros. Let me check my account, make sure that 38 is the number. I don't want to say something that is that was not true, but I believe it was 38 that I got. But over in games, that starts at the end of this Tsitsipas-Zverev match, which has all of a sudden, as I mentioned, just gotten very interesting. And just confirming now, the number I did get was, yes, 38, over 38 on Nadal-Djokovic total games. I think it will be very competitive. I think we could be staring at a classic today in the second of the men's semifinals. And let me just say this, because we talked about this on Primetime Action. If you believe in Djokovic on the upset today, you might as well take him at plus 450. Not that Stefanos Tsitsipas couldn't beat Djokovic in the finals, by the way, but I think the way to play Djokovic, if you believe that he could upset Nadal, and I'm not saying he will, because I do have a future on Nadal, as you know, that the only future of mine left, quite frankly, that is alive. But if you believe in Djokovic today, then I would play him at plus 450 to win it all. Matt Brown was talking about that last night as well. I agree completely. The ladies' side. So I have the over in the Nadal-Djokovic match. The ladies' side hit one of the two dogs yesterday, did not hit Zidancic versus Pavlyuchenkova, but did hit Barbora Krejcikova against Maria Sakkari. Sakkari took down our girl Iga Świątek. Hit on Krejcikova as a plus 152 dog yesterday. It's Krejcikova against Pavlyuchenkova in the finals tomorrow. I know that ain't Nadal and Djokovic. That ain't Nadal and Federer. I get it. I am all over Krejcikova at minus 127. That's where I got her. This is her tournament to lose. My pre-tournament numbers, I went back and looked at it because there is no one on planet Earth who could have possibly had Krejcikova, Pavlyuchenkova in the finals. And I looked at my data for the French Open, clay data for the last year. I have Krejcikova as like the 22nd best player over the last year, clay data, on tour. And I have Pavlyuchenkova in like the 50s. By the way, that margin is not nearly as big as it seems. It's about 3 percentage points total when we're talking serve percentage and return of serve percentage. There's no way anybody could have predicted these two ladies. And I said this to Drew Dinsick yesterday offline, and he said not even people from their own families. But Krejcikova, the way she played against Coco Gauff in the quarters and the way she played against Sakkari, taking us to victory on our bet in the semis, she going to win. Minus 127, Krejcikova in the women's finals. It's Gil Alexander. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, VSiN app, however you take us in. We appreciate you joining us. And just to reiterate baseball from yesterday, I did lose my one baseball play. The other one was rained out. The Giants-Nationals game, which we will immediately go back to the well on today. So my one baseball pick for today, I'm taking Discofani against the Nationals. It's about 4 cents less than it was yesterday, but I'll still play it at plus 158. The Giants are the play today. Rain out, postponed from yesterday. That drops my pre-flop record here in baseball to 16-10 on the season for plus 5.81 units. Still a fine little season. But we lost yesterday. I had the went back to the well in the White Sox-Blue Jays first fives. If you recall, a few days ago, we hit very easily on the under in the Robbie Ray Carlos Rodon game in the first five between the Jays and the White Sox. Yesterday, I had the over in the first five between Hyunjin Ryu and Dallas Keuchel. Three runs from the White Sox in the first inning on the over 4.5, and we were good to go, or at least I thought, and then just no offense whatsoever. Well, not none whatsoever, but not enough to get two runs anyway. It ended up with only four runs in the first five, and of course, just to mock us, a fifth run in the top of the sixth, because you know how that goes. So we do lose on that, unfortunately, even after three first-inning runs were plated. Let's talk some baseball from an undisclosed location in the desert. Ladies and gentlemen, at Base Winner is where you can find him. It's Mark Borchardt. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing good. You got a tricky card today.
It is. I'm only playing the one from yesterday. I'm glad you said that, because I found that to be the case as well. Did you find anything?
Yeah, I've got a couple ways I'm going to go, but I had to go deep into the granular charts today, I must admit.
All right, so talk about that for a second before you give the picks, because the things I love about segments with you is I get to nerd out a little bit on baseball. So when you say deep into the granular charts, first of all, what does that mean? Like, how deep do you have to go to find an edge here?
Well, there's a couple things I do. I have the overview chart, which pretty much is the, you know, base winner run number for the pitcher, the offensive rating, the fielding rating, the umpire rating, and puts the park factors in. So that's kind of like the overview chart. But I have this other chart that's plate discipline based, and I really like this. I've been using this for the last probably 2.5 years, and between me and you, I should use it more. But you run into some handicapping time issues, but this is a really good chart. It takes a look at plate discipline statistics, and I won't go into the details, but it does produce a line for me. So I've gone into those charts and isolated a couple games that look really good on the plate discipline charts, and they're not bad on the other charts. On the overview chart, they still look pretty good there too, Gil.
Yeah, so I hope people don't mind, because some people inevitably are here for just the picks, and we will get to the picks, I promise. But the thing that I love about this kind of discussion with you is this goes back to sort of my background with Dr. Bob and the great Bob Stoll, who is, you know, a pioneer of modeling to predict sports. And my first reaction to when you just said, oh, yeah, I had to go, you know, into the, not to the overview chart, but I had to go more granular. My first reaction in my head was, oh, wait, well, shouldn't that mean then that you shouldn't play it at all? That if you have to go that deep, that maybe there's no edge whatsoever. But as you talked through it, I was reminded of how, you know, many times Bob as a modeler didn't trust, like probably should have trusted his numbers even more than he did. Like he was almost too conservative about it. So I throw that out to you. Do you find that to be the case too? Because I think you just hinted at that.
Yeah, I think if you're really introspective about your model, like Bob is, like people who spend, you know, hundreds of hours on modeling, then you understand that you can't just have like one number that's going to be this magic bullet. Like, oh, this is the combination I use, and this is magic. I think you've got to bring a lot of stuff in. And when you listen to Bob, he does a lot of different, he probably has similar things, like a lot of different charts. He goes to one chart, then he goes to another chart. And then he's kind of like subjectively in his mind, like you know, there's an alchemy about it, Gil, where you have different ratings and numbers, and over the years you just kind of get good at like marrying those things. And then the other thing that you know, and I told you this, this plate discipline chart, I spent hours building this thing. I need to use it more. It's really good, and it's very predictive too. So, yeah, I hope I answered your question there.
You did. Predictive is all we're searching for, and that's interesting. And that's the main thing about my discussions with you, our discussions together, is going through that process of it's a long arc evolution. I mean, I think that's the one thing I want to convey. It's not like you showed up one day, you put out a model, and then you professed your loyalty to it forever and ever. No, this is a completely, you know, evolving thing through the years where you add layers, maybe you take off layers, you find out what works, what doesn't. And I think, and this is just my opinion, I think, you know, we talk about the spectrum of handicappers. If Bob, for instance, is just completely 1,000% numbers on one side of the spectrum, and the other side is, you know, smoke and mirrors guys and the whole, you know, whole process in between, or the whole amalgamation of people in between that do it other ways, I always feel like you got to do some math. I think if you don't do any numbers, you're doing it wrong. I certainly do for baseball and tennis. But I really believe in watching. And I really do. And Bob used to wear it as a badge of honor that he didn't watch anything. And I was like, I'm not wired that way. So I watch a lot too. And I for me, just personally, just my opinion, I think some kind of mix of both is the best way to go. And I'm not sure if you're in that camp or not.
Well, actually, Gil, I'm more into Bob. Like, hey, yeah, these are the numbers and it's hard to stress. But let me tell you this, though. The guys I'm real close with who have used my numbers for years, and they do other stuff. They watch games. They have trend analysis. They've got subjective analysis. They have done extremely well incorporating the numbers into their handicapping style. So
yes,
I think that works. I think it works better, honestly. But when you got to understand like where your strengths are, where your sweet spot is. And my sweet spot is creating charts that create probability. And that's what I'm really good at. I don't think I'm as good as you if we watched a game. I think you could probably glean a little bit more from the game than I could. I can still watch games and see things and understand it, but I think some people have better skill set as far as, you know, subjective skill sets, watching stuff. And that's what you're so good at, because you're able to blend the numbers and what you watch. You're really with tennis too. You do it well. So,
I appreciate that, but I will tell you, like in baseball, like I look at someone like Jason Weingarten and I'm like, I don't even light a candle. I don't just a savant on stuff like that. But it's always fascinating. And just before we get into your picks here, we're talking to Mark Borchard from the Base Winner podcast, Clear Data Sports. At Clear Data, do you provide people who are interested in modeling, do you provide like templates for people to model?
No, that's something that we'd really like to get into is educating people, having people build their own things, actually building applications for them. And I'm getting skilled in that department as far as actually coding in Python and JavaScript, and that's what I spent really the last year doing. So I think we're going to go to that route and customize things for people because people handicap differently. I mean,
yeah,
I handicap a certain way, and somebody would say like, hey, Mark, I want the G6 model. And I say, Gil, let's work on a G6 model together.
Did you used to do that, Mark? Were you, and I don't mean to like press you on this, but like where you would provide your player ratings and then people could adjust it if they disagreed with you kind of thing?
Well, how it works is we have an overview chart that gives all the ratings. And I've in the past also shared that play discipline chart. I don't know how much I want to give away from that, but
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no. People will take the chart and be like, okay, this is what he's got the bullpen rated. This is what he's got the starting pitcher rating. This is what he's got the offense rating. This is his power rating on his team's offense. And they look at that. They like the bullpen rating. So there is a dissemination of information that people use and kind of use in their own modeling.
All right, that's
but
cool.
It can be done totally better. I mean, it's just these applications. We built a weather application, cool. What I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about it on the podcast, and we're going to launch that actually this week. So it's exciting for me because it actually quantifies weather into a particular game. And so, you know, for this Washington game, I really liked Washington, but there's some weather factors that took me off the game, Gil.
Okay, I was going to ask you if you hated my pick of the Giants, so you're indifferent. You're just not playing it.
Okay, here's how it breaks down. I've got the Nationals at minus 259, but I love Scherzer. He's a 95th percentile in the three metric chart. Tony Disco is only 42%. So I really like that. So I dug into the weather, and there was a base winner weather factor that runs are going to be up 9%. The plate discipline stats are going to be up like 15%. I said, look, you know, this Scherzer he's susceptible to giving up a home run.
Yes.
So I'm going to pass on this game. But if I had to play it, I'd go Nationals.
Well, that was part of my handicap is really it's a numbers play, right? It's just, to me, it's too much bang for the buck on the Giants not to play. It triggered a bet for me. And it was, I mentioned this yesterday when talking about it, it is the Achilles heel of Max Scherzer, giving up the long ball. And that's kind of the play here, that the Giants will be able to exploit that enough to just do enough to win this as a plus 160. By the way, I had it plus 162 yesterday. I got it plus 158 today. Okay, what did you land on?
Okay, so what I'm going to do, Gil, is I'm going to go with a lay the wood parlay.
Oh.
And I don't do this much. It might be I've done it a couple times on your show in the past, but I'm going to go with the Reds and the Brewers. And it pays you even money. It's like let me just look at the exact numbers.
So as you look that up, I'll just say it's Tyler Molly against Freeland for the Rockies, Cincinnati with Molly on the hill, just at like -201 consensus. We have it at -200 even on the board. And then in the case of the Brewers, Brandon Woodruff -280 going up against the Pittsburgh Pirates. But Mark is not suggesting to play them straight. He puts them together. And what's your parlay payout on those two?
It pays out, it's even money. It's plus 100, minus 203 Reds, minus 287 Brewers. And, I mean, you can talk about how good Woodruff's been from an expected ERA standpoint, but if you look at I love this three-metric chart. We've talked about it on the show. That it takes swinging strike percentage, hard hit balls, and walk percentage, and he's in the 92nd percentile there. And if you look at this, and this is the plate discipline chart that I have, I've got the Brewers at minus 261 and the Reds at minus 255. So I think that's a good play. I think that's probably given the card. I think that's a good way to go, Gil.
Marlins, by the way, were $2 favorites yesterday. We can't remember the last time the Marlins were $2 favorites, but they easily got it done yesterday against the team you're fading here, the Colorado Rockies, in the case of the Reds. Of course, that was Chi-Chi on the hill, who is eminently fadable, but just wanted to point that out, that these sometimes these come in very easily. Sometimes, of course, they don't, but that's Mark's play, Cincinnati and Milwaukee, a little two-leg parlay. There's like four of the biggest names in baseball pitching tonight, Scherzer being one of them. But the other three, and I'm curious if you have any thoughts on these, Jacob DeGrom and the Mets, a muted, because it's Snell and the Padres, but Snell has not been that great. DeGrom's only minus 160 here. What do you think there?
Oh, gosh, I wanted to play the under so bad in this game. And it's 5.5. I've got a projected 5.5. I've got a run factor from a weather standpoint, -7.7%, which I liked. But I tell you what's hard to play these 5.5 is if the game goes into extra innings, then you have that runner on second base.
Yeah, forget about it.
You know, it almost hit yesterday, the over. So it was 0-0 in the Atlanta-Philly game, 0-0 going into the ninth. And ends up going into extra or going into the bottom of the eighth. So it's 1-1 going into extra innings. Ends up 4-3 under 7.5. Gosh, I'd hate to have these guys. And yesterday Wheeler struck out like 12. I'd hate to have DeGrom strike out 14 guys and you lose the under. So I just got to pass on these 5.5. If it was different, if it was regular baseball, then I would play the under in this game.
If it were regular baseball, that's what it's come to, Mark. We have to say things like that. Well, you know, if this were regular baseball,
I got to give you a term that I heard yesterday. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you know, you heard the term ghost runner, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Eric Nadal, the Texas Rangers announcer, came up with a zombie runner because he's dead and he comes back to life after he makes it out. He goes back to second base. I thought that was a pretty good term.
Yeah, we used to call him Ghost Man. Ghost Man on second. That's what we used to say as kids. Ghost Runner, Ghost Man, Zombie Runner. Interesting.
I like the zombie term.
Anything on Shohei? Shohei Ohtani -133-ish. On the road at Arizona, or Kershaw? Kershaw's way too expensive. -320 at home against Fulton Nevich and the Rangers. Anything on those two?
Well, I do have something on the Angels, but just to make a comment on that Dodgers game. Started off at -250. We had it priced at -296, so gave it out yesterday afternoon, but now it's -300. Why don't they just set it up at -300? You've seen that Kershaw line move.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've been seeing that for years, Gil.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And there seemingly is no price that people won't bet on them. It's ridiculous. But you do have a play on the Angels game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks on the run line, and it's +1.5, -128. And if you look at the three metric chart, Ohtani at the 68th percentile, Kelly in the 37th percentile. So it's not a huge difference, especially getting that run. And then if you look at the base winner run number, I've got Ohtani at 3.96, which is right at league average. I've got Kelly at 4.57. So, again, the player comparison is close enough to get that +1.5. And then the plate discipline chart, I've got the Diamondbacks favor there at -122. So one of the things that's pretty interesting about the Diamondbacks, their offense, is at home, they've got four guys that are above. Well, they're almost. I'll just go down the list.
Well, tell you what, Mark, we're up against it. You want to hold that thought till after the break?
Yeah, that's cool.
Hold that thought till after the break. Cincinnati and Cincinnati Milwaukee 2-leg money line parlay and Arizona on the run line. Mark will continue his explanation on that. +1.5, -135. Coming back in numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. And don't forget, with the Triple Crown Series at an end for 2021, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod looks back and looks ahead at the same time. At times irreverent, Tim Wilkin of the Albany Times Union reflects on the 5 weeks in Louisville, Baltimore, and New York. Trainer Wesley Ward looks ahead to next week when he sends a string of horses to England for Royal Ascot. It's the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, available right now at VSiN.com/podcast, wherever you get your podcast. It's sponsored by First Bet. Skill Alexander, Mark, you don't have to stay for the whole segment. It's Mark Borchardt, everybody, at base winner. But just finish your explanation for your play today. Diamondbacks +1.5. Diamondbacks on the run line, -135.
Yeah, this is an amazing number, and you wouldn't think this. If you look, first of all, the Arizona overall as a team, weighted runs created on the road is 77. At home, they're 104, but a lot of guys have been in and out of the lineup and hurt and stuff. If you look at their default lineup today, all of the guys except for one have weighted runs created plus over 105 or more. And I'll just break it down. Rojas, 105. Marte, 155. This is weighted runs created plus at home. Eduardo Escobar, 108. Peralta, 107. Kelly, 116. Pavin Smith, 153. Weighted runs created plus at home, and then Reddick 220. The only guy under is Nick Ahmed at 95. So I thought that was a pretty amazing stat for a team that's in the cellar, and they fired their hitting coaches yesterday, is how good these guys are going to be in the lineup tonight, how good they've been at home, Gil.
And a team at home that is 11-16, so not great either. Not terrible, though, right? Not as bad as their away record, which has been abominable, 9-27. So that's interesting. Interesting take on the Diamondbacks. Ballpark factor? Did the management tailor their team properly to the ballpark? Is that what your thinking is on that?
Absolutely. These guys are tailoring these teams to the ballparks, and sometimes it doesn't work when they go on the road. And it's interesting with Colorado and Arizona because they have the biggest disparities, and they have the weirdest kind of situation in their division where they have, hitting-friendly parks at home, and then they go on the road, and they're like pitcher-friendly on the road within their division. So absolutely, that these teams are tailoring the team. And I guess at some point you got to kind of balance it out because you can't be 104 at home and 77 on the road. You got to play 82 games or 81 games on the road, Gil.
Very interesting, though. Very, very interesting, and something to keep in mind moving forward when handicapping any D-backs game. Mark Borchardt. Clear Data Sports, and of course, the Base Winner podcast at Base Winner. Thank you, Mark, as always.
Yo, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Love talking baseball with you.
Me too, man. Mark Borchardt, who I have known for more than a decade now. Always love talking baseball with him, hanging out with him in Arizona for spring training as well. We get tweets. I only want to read this one tweet because of the tweet of the morning from Greg V. He was parlaying what Paul Carr had said about his experience at the U.S.-Mexico soccer game and how there was everything in that game. He said it was like Stefan from Saturday Night Live. And Greg V. Sent us an emoji, or not an emoji, but a pic of Stefan as played by Bill Hader on Saturday Night Live. He said, this game has everything. Late goals, managerial ejections, MTV's Dan Cortez. It's always the one that cracked up Bill Hader. You know, the whole that whole bit with Stefan on Saturday Night Live is that Bill Hader would get the teleprompter, the people at Saturday Night Live behind the scenes would just feed him certain lines. Like, he'd have some of them, but not all of them, and they would always surprise him with certain lines. That's why he would just lose his stuff, if you will, on set doing that. French Open. Sasha Zverev is making this difficult on Stefanos Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas won the first two sets 6-3, 6-3. Zverev took back the third set 6-4 and now is up a break in the second set 3-1. So Zverev trying to push this and well on his way to pushing this to a fifth and deciding set. Again, I'm over 38 games in the second match between Nadal and Djokovic, which I expect to go four very long sets, or five in fact as well. So great. And I just want to, again, following up on some other things that we talked about today. One, when we had Adam Stanko on talking about the NBA draft, I just wanted to put this forward too as well. Cade Cunningham, minus 1,000 to be the first pick in the draft. Can we just talk about that for a second? I will say this again. I was so, like, his game during, you know, the run-up to the Big Dance, and then also the Big Dance itself when Oklahoma State was playing, he just seemed deliberate. He seemed to play slow. Then you juxtapose it against Davion Mitchell, who was just playing at a frenetic pace, was just phenomenally aggressive. And Cade Cunningham's minus 1,000. NBA teams are that enthralled with him? Listen, I could be completely wrong. I'm no basketball scout, but boy, oh boy, that seems very odd to me. Might be worth a flyer on Mobley or somebody else, 11-1, the Pac-12 Player of the Year. And I'll repeat what I said about as much as we love Iga Świątek, sometimes the beauty of sports is that something happens that just no one on earth could have predicted. Krejcikova against Pavlyuchenkova, French Open final tomorrow. But man, it's still imminently bettable. All about Krejcikova at minus 128 in that one. We'll come back slow jamming with Vinny to wrap it up next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It is A Numbers Game right here at VSiN. If you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. Catch replays of all our shows, including Follow the Money, A Numbers Game, My Guys in the Desert, Lombardi Line with VSiN Best Bets, or download Beating the Book with, hey, that's me, Gil Alexander, or Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. Plus, we've got Hardwood Handicappers with JBT, Long Shots with Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds, Gone Racing, and the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod, coincidentally with Ron Flatter, by the way. They're all free and available now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, what you've all been waiting for, slow jamming with Vinny.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Hit it.
That's right. I'm not going to say kickoff, but start the weekend.
Again, more smooth jazzy That's than right. slow jamming. And it's my only one complaint about this, but I appreciate everybody working on the graphic. Vinny Maliulo, everybody, the dulcet slow jamming tones of a man who works for Gone Gaming. Course paired with Chrissy and Jimmy back here at the South Point. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I heard. So here's the thing. Yep. While I was gone.
That's right. Go ahead. Say it.
Vinny, I've been hammering you for months, if not years.
Yeah. Oh, if not.
If not. If not decades or centuries. Like, when are you guys gonna expand the tennis? And so then I come back, right? I have Chris on Monday.
Right.
The lovely Chrissy Andrews, by the way. Author of
Tremendous.
Then One Day.
Our director.
And he says to me, he goes, you know, Gil, the demand was just there. Mm-hmm. So we put it out. I'm like, the demand was just there? Who do you think was stumping for that demand?
You're the demand spearhead, yes.
That's what I am. And so I didn't know this was coming. I was on vacation.
So you said, you know what, I'm out.
And let me tell you something. You would have murdered me because I got beat bad in the first round.
Well, Look out, Wimbledon.
I'm a lifetime 2-1 now because I was due. So
appreciate your input, the input of the bettors, the listeners, the viewers. You take it into consideration, and typically here at South Point, our clientele has always been about the quarterfinals.
Yes,
and in, you know, so but we did get some other requests. It's up, and we did quite a bit of business to it.
So what that tells me is that when I request something, you're like, yeah, whatever, Gil.
Yeah.
But then if the right guy shows up there and goes, hey, can we get some tennis? You're like, absolutely.
Well, it wasn't not that you're not the right guy. I just said you're a terrific source and endorser. You spearheaded it. But there were other spearheads as well.
I was not the only spearhead. No, I understand that.
No, good. No, so and we did. But who do you like in the men's and women's? Did you?
I do. I've just given that pick, Vinny.
You did?
Thank you.
Okay,
for
hold on.
By the way, producer Jason Kahn has. First of all, I like Barbara Krejcikova at -128 over Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Mm-hmm. And you know how we know how much you and Chrissy like for people to come up and ask to make props. Because I know that's what you guys love more than anything when people say, hey, why don't you put up this prop? So Jason Kahn, producer number 7, who also came up with a great morning radio show title yesterday, he believes that Elliot Spitzer and Anthony Weiner should get together and do a morning show called Weiner Spitzer. He said this morning, he said, hey, Vinny, why don't you make this prop? Total number of letters combined in Krejcikova and Pavlyuchenkova's names and total games versus total games played in the women's final.
Versus total game. Well,
Jason Kahn, everybody. Krejcikova
has what? What? How many there? There's 17, right? First and last name, just alone.
Oh, we're doing first names too.
Is that what?
Yeah,
oh, just last names.
You're just doing last names. Well, how many games you want, Vinny?
Well, I'm just asking. Even with the last names, look at this. Man, you could put Vaccaro, Andrews, and Maiulo together and still be a dog.
You'll get zero bets on this, by the way. No, but I love Krejcikova. Absolutely.
You do.
-128. Yeah.
Minus a quarter.
And I will be betting at the South Point, just like I did Krejcikova yesterday.
Minus a quarter. Let me see if it's.
Oh, minus a quarter.
Still,
all right.
Well,
I'm going after this.
It. Yeah. So.
I'm definitely going.
No, we've been welcome back.
Thank you. I just want to point out tennis first. Now, the other thing, because Mark Borchardt and I were just talking about this, and we sort of glossed over it because I asked him specifically about the DeGrom game, but a total of 5.5.
On the game.
On the game, Snell versus DeGrom. And Mark Borchardt said, Gil, I was dying to figure out a way to play the under here. I wanted to play it so badly. But then he thought to himself, and I think appropriately so, with the new extra inning rules, that this is really daredevil-y to play the under, because even if you go under and it's 2-2, you're a dog headed into extras.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's 5.5 over, and believe it or not, we opened at 5.5 over, and 5.5 over, when I say that, is always -120 and even on the under. It's they bet it under. They took even on the under.
Well,
I think that's more DeGrom, obviously, than Snell. I mean, especially at home. I mean,
Snell has not been spectacular.
He's not.
No.
So.
Like, what are we talking about here?
And of course, you know, the Mets. Again, it was the Orioles. I mean, they lit him up the other day. And DeGrom. Who's a better hitter, him or Ohtani? I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Right.
DeGrom is.
I mean, DeGrom is he's dangerous at the plate as well. And a lot of times he's got to help himself because typically the Mets don't get him a lot of runs. But
Madison Bumgarner checking in saying, hey, hold my beer. I'm betting both of them. But no, I mean, seriously.
You don't see this too often. I mean, somebody asked me on the way in this morning, when was the last time you saw a 5.5 in a baseball game? I told him Koufax Gibson in 1966.
But what are we acting like with Snell here? He has a 4.83 ERA. I mean, his advanced stats are better, but like 3.95 and 3.41 FIP and XFIP. It's not like he's given up over 5 walks a game.
Yeah.
5.5? And everybody wants to pound the under?
Yeah, I think there'll be some over money in this, Gil. I mean, the first four and a half innings is 2.5.
2.5, which, by the way, we've had once before this year.
Yeah, and I think it was DeGrom. I'm trying to remember. Jason can look. It might have been DeGrom.
It was DeGrom against Pavlyuchenkova, I believe it was. I don't know who it was, but it was DeGrom against somebody, because I know Parlay sent it to me. He's like, have you ever seen this before? I was like, no.
But DeGrom's, listen, you just can't ignore what he's doing. And again, I mean, we talk about his offensive prop, but look at his ERA. Look at his stats, Gil. I mean, guy's having a terrific year.
I guess
he doesn't get a lot of run support. That's the difficulty with him.
So he doesn't. That's part of the calculus that people are making.
Sure.
He doesn't get a lot of run support,
right.
Which I'm not convinced is a thing. But after it happens a billion times, I guess I'm wrong.
If you look at the last 3 years,
yes.
Like it's when I was growing up. Obviously, I grew up a Met fan. Full disclosure. Tom Seaver. Was a
same deal.
He would very rarely would he get run support. I mean, he would be out there pitching his guts out, and you know, he'd be games 1-0, 2.
It's got to be. I asked Josh Towers about it. He goes, "Oh yeah, it gets in the hitters' minds after a while."
Yeah,
because they're like, "Oh, we do something for this guy."
Right.
But the notion that this happened on a DeGrom Snell matchup is so weird to me. Like, why? Any Padres fan will tell you they're so disappointed in Snell. It's not even funny.
Oh, absolutely. And at home, too, right? In Petco, where it's a pitcher's park. I think they had high. Now, listen, I'm not saying that the Padres are regretting getting him by any means. And he'll prove to be good throughout the year, but it's
all right.
Tough.
We'll come back. I haven't bet it yet, just full disclosure. I haven't made any bet yet, but I'm thinking about it over. We'll see. Coming back with Vinny, Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Discover BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today and place a $1 wager on any Euro 2020 match. I know I got Euro fever. If either team scores a goal in the match, you'll win $100 regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use bonus code VEASAN100 when you place your first bet. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, D.C., or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and D.C. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WHIP-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Whew. Sweaty time. This is Zverev-Tsitsipas match. Did Tsitsipas just break him back? He might have. I don't know. Or it's on serve. Either way, Zverev trying to push for a fifth set. Slow jamming with Vinny Maiolio, everybody. Vinny Maiolio, who is always here, not only on VSiN, but runs part of the South Point Sportsbook with Chrissy and Jimmy, and of course is part of Gone Gaming. There's many more things to talk about. One I just mentioned in this promo read, Euro 2020. And by the way, every time we say 2020, there's going to be somebody out there who's like, what do you mean it's 2021? No, it's a year delayed.
Yes.
We're still calling it Euro 2020.
Yep.
How much action does a book like the South Point get on this? Because I have to tell you, I am legit excited to bet this.
No, you should be, because you're getting some of the best teams in the world. It's kind of sets up for the Olympics and the next World Cup and things like that. I think people are starting to get more excited about the U.S. men's national team. We know the women's national team is the best team in the world and has been for a while. But yeah, you know what, Gil, when I guess if you compare it to, let's say, MLS, it's more than MLS. Is it more than Champions League? Yeah, I think because it certainly got the exposure as well. So what helps us also is being a 24-hour book helps us too.
Yes.
As a three-shift town, it gets our locals involved, and there's a contingent of folks here that do enjoy betting on soccer as well. So
I
put up a future book, the brackets, and then the individual matches. So kind of treat it like a World Cup, and the folks respond.
How have your conference only college football season win totals gone?
Those are going well. Really a great response. I mean, well over six figures already. There were folks that were lined up. You know, I think one of the things that Chris did to his credit was he put out there that it, you know, the day and time we were doing it, and unfortunately it got delayed by one day because we had a memorial to attend. But he put it out there and said, here it is. It's conference games only. Every team. We did not use Notre Dame and BYU because of not being in a specific conference, but we did put them in quite a few of the games of the year. So, but there's been a great response. It more of a response to the college props so far than the NFL regular season wins so far. And
would you have expected that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so, Gil.
Just based on South Point's clientele.
Yeah, and again, it's but there was a lot of sophisticated play, professional play in the colleges, not to be surprised, but some casual ones as well. But I think as the summer progresses, we'll see more of a gradual increase in the NFL regular season wins.
Sorry, Vinny, if I'm being rude. And while I'm listening to you, I'm also watching this tennis
match. I knew
match,
you're watching. Yes, so you've got
apologies for the...
That's quite all right, my friend. You know, you've got a vested interest.
Vinny, stop getting in the way of this tennis match, I mean, for God's sakes.
No. I'll leave if you...
I'm kidding. Okay, so we alluded to this off-air between breaks. I legit do not know, because you said to me, "Go, Gil, guess what the series price is on the Vegas Golden Knights against the Montreal Canadiens." Vegas, for those who missed it, of course, last night, dramatic setting at T-Mobile. They fell behind 1-0 really quickly.
Within 26 seconds.
And then quickly got back a minute 15 in to tie it up. Led 2-1, led 3-2, led 4-3, I believe it was, till they ended up winning it 6-3. And they're on their way to the semifinals of the Stanley Cup playoffs to take on the Montreal Canadiens, reseeding Vegas of the remaining four teams with the best record left, Montreal with the worst. We have the Islanders and Lightning. So you asked me, what do I think the series price is on Vegas? And the reason you asked me is because you are surprised by what it is.
Well, I'm a bit... Christy and I were talking yesterday, and you know, obviously you think ahead.
Oh, you just put it on the screen. Now I know what it is. Come on, guys. Oh, here's what I would have guessed. I wanted this to be off.
I know.
Yeah.
It's
okay,
all right, buddy.
So I would have guessed. I would have said Tampa Bay's in the minus 250-ish or something like that.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's actually 280, and they went up to three.
I didn't know that going up to three.
Yeah.
But based on the fact that they were in the high twos, I would have guessed Vegas would have been in the threes. But I would not have expected them to be quite this high,
well,
minus 450.
How about this, Gil?
Yeah.
They laid 420.
Well, you have regional bias here, too.
And that's not a shock. But Chrissy and I were talking about, you know, in the threes, you know. But then you've got to also, you take into consideration what the market is. You try to anticipate, right? And then...
I don't think it's that outlandish, though, I will tell you. Because, again, if Tampa Bay was what they were, Vegas, they weren't going to be lower than minus.
Well, no. And, again, here, you know, and you have to give the Canadiens credit. But, listen, the Canadiens have not gone up against Toronto was a good team. Toronto was the best Canadian team, although, Montreal is playing terrific right now, and this is when you want to be playing terrific. Winnipeg,
So this is not good,
but this is a whole different set of circumstances.
So this is so specific to hockey, right? This, would I lay the minus 450? Not a damn chance, right? Because hockey is so much more random than everything else to me.
Well,
so regular season, Vegas was 24 games above 500. Canadians were 8 games below.
Yeah.
8 games below 500.
They had a fight to get into the four in their division.
Todd Wright says on the show, he says they shouldn't even be in the playoffs, right? Like that's how he thinks about the Canadiens. Okay. Yet, as you alluded to, they have this 434 minute stretch now in the postseason of not having trailed.
Right.
And I am told, Vinny, if you do not trail, you cannot lose.
It's a pretty good chance you're going to advance. Yeah.
Yes, the all-time record is 480 minutes consecutive, not having trailed by the 1960 Montreal Canadiens. So they are flirting with that. Would I bet the plus 350? I actually might. And that's the thing with hockey, right? And I would, if there was any other sport and there was an equivalent to that, let's say there was a basketball team that was 24 games above 500, and you know, some of these like lower Eastern Conference teams that sneak into the eighth seed, like 8 games below 500, as has been the case in previous years. There was always one that, you know, team was terrible. Not a chance would I ever take a flyer on a dog like that. But in hockey, I don't know, man.
Well, you also factor in a terrific goaltender, a hot goaltender.
That is all you need.
And in hockey, that is, you know, that's that is one of the most, if not the most critical aspect, right? Their defense is playing well in front of them. But you've got, everybody talks about Marc-Andre Fleury and Vasilevsky, particularly with cup experience and have won cups, but so is Price.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference here is, the Golden Knights, a much deeper team and a much more physical team. And the fact that they can roll out four lines. And look what that fourth line did last night for the Knights.
There's no question the Knights are playing great.
This is a different animal. But it's still a terrific series. I mean, you got the tradition of the Canadiens, right, winning more cups than any other team. And the Final Four is terrific. I mean, you got the Islanders, who are a great story. The injuries that they had to overcome this year. You got the defending Stanley Cup champs in Tampa Bay, and you've got the Knights. Let's remember this. This team's only 4 years old.
Oh, no, trust me, I remember. As a Washington Capitals fan, trust me, I remember, because, you know, the 44th season of the Capitals,
mm-hmm.
where I had attended a game in their inaugural season.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, so, like, it's so funny when the Capitals beat the Knights in the finals. I remember I was wearing an Ovechkin t-shirt, and JVT was like, "Oh, how long you been a Capitals fan?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Like, you just got born.
Since you were,
you have no idea what you're talking
about."
Right? Like, not to kill JVT, but I just remember that and thinking to myself, "Boy, these Vegas Golden Knights fans have no idea what sorrow is."
Sure.
And so, you know, they got all the way to the finals in their first year, which is just off the charts, unbelievable, right? And here they are again. And by the numbers, by minus 450, they should absolutely have another shot at it in the finals. But I will just, again, about hockey. And I would be very curious to see what Andy McNeil, who runs these numbers, mm-hmm. would say about these prices.
Sure.
But specifically about the Knights being minus 450. I don't know. I don't know what he would say. I don't know if he would say that's accurate, or I don't know if he would say that's outlandish.
Well, I mean, they're obviously the Knights are 1-2 now in the futures, and again, I don't think that'll surprise a lot of folks, right? Especially with the home and home ice. Listen, we oftentimes talk about home field, home court, et cetera, and hockey. It probably means the least, except in some venues. Nassau Coliseum is such a venue, you know, but so is T-Mobile.
Yes.
You know, Chicago. I mean, there's certain venues in hockey that do mean more.
I don't want to sleep on the Islanders either, by the way. I think the Lightning, I mean, as great as the Golden Knights have been playing, the Lightning of the Stanley Cup champs, and I agree with Todd Wright, like, you can repeat after the year of COVID probably easier than you can in any other back-to-back year because of the rest involved.
They're versatile too, though, right? They can play an up-tempo, or you want to play a grind-out game. They've got four solid lines, yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to see a Lightning Knights final, and by the way, that'd be curious
great,
what that price would be,
great
right?
For business. You have to see how they come out of it, too, because, you know, to marry yourself to it now. But the Knights, again, here, regional bias. Is it Pick'em? It's close.
Islanders are frisky, though. They had a great run in the postseason last year.
This is a repeat, too.
I will
say
that this is a great Final Four, and the Canadians even make it great because of this streak.
Because of what they're doing and the tradition. Yeah, no question. I think it's going to be great. Great business.
I would not have guessed minus 450, but I would have guessed minus
350. I know. Christy and I didn't have it as high, but we knew it would be higher, and we would probably have to set it higher than, you know.
You think it still goes higher still?
Don't be shocked.
Don't be shocked.
Gil.
That's why I asked.
They love their Golden Knights here.
vinny, thank you, as always.
Always good to be with you. Welcome back, Gil.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure. Vinny Maliulo, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network. They're going to a fifth set. Tsitsipas and Zverev. Enjoy. Good luck from all of us at VSiN, the sports betting network. The Lombardi line is next.